Does the Arizona immigration law go too far? Surprisingly, Tom Tancredo, who was all over illegal immigration, says yes. You have cars driving around with things on the back that say, I'm Mexican, pull me over. And you have lots of people blowing up the phone lines of the mayor, Phil Gordon of Phoenix, to say, we're not going to hold our convention in your fair city thanks to this racist, disgusting law. The law, by the way, does not kick in for 90 days. Lots of opinions flying around. You might have one. I'm going to give out the digits right at the top. 800-259-5791. Again, 800-259-5791. Guys, that's a freebie. You can say Abroad gave you her number. Kate Delaney, that's the name, and the name of the show is America Tonight. We have other fish to fry along the way, including financial reform. Can you say filibuster? Bank reform has been blocked, at least the debate, of course. The Republicans vote as a block to filibuster the Wall Street bill. One Democrat joined the Republicans. Uh-huh. How about that? I'm going to tell you about that one Democrat. In the meantime, that oil spill, thanks to the platform that sank off of the Louisiana coastline, now covers 1,800 square miles. It's getting closer to the coast. In the next couple days, they'll have a handle on whether it will actually reach the shores. If it does, oh my, the idea of drilling for oil and building new platforms, a lot of those dreams are going to sink, even though the president was backing it up. The spill has been disastrous from that point of view. It's a public relations nightmare. The economy in relationship to the Wall Street reforms. Remember GM, AIG, how many people needed bailouts? Of course, the bankers really got stuck in all of our crawls, but then you had the big three automakers burning all that fuel on their special planes when they flew into town without a plan in place to talk to Congress, went home with their tails between their legs, drove back to Washington, D.C. to ask for money. So how about the governor of Michigan? Michigan, for all of the woes and the problems that poor state has suffered because of the auto industry. Well, Jennifer Granholm, whose name is on a short list as a potential Supreme Court justice, as a potential nominee, Barack Obama has said he likes her and she's definitely somebody he's thinking about, took time to actually, on one of the Sunday shows, talk about the fact that the economy, she feels, in Michigan, and especially in Detroit, is starting to show signs of a recovery.
You've actually come on a really good week, because this is the week that General Motors has paid back its loan. They announced a $120 million investment in their plant in Detroit. Chrysler had some additional challenges, but their net operating profit was $200 million almost. You know, I announced during the week that we were 10 job projects that created 15,000 jobs. I did a groundbreaking at one of the battery companies that we have recruited to provide the supply for the electric vehicle. We are just seeing a lot of movement. You know, we're obviously not there yet. We have hit bottom. I know that. And we are starting to emerge. Obviously, it's going to be an extended climb up. But we've got to keep pushing into this effort of diversifying our economy and educating our kids. True. And that is a really important point for Michigan citizens to hear, for all citizens to hear, that we know that the traditional repetitive motion kind of manufacturing jobs are not coming back. You have to be honest about that. But what we have the opportunity to do, like Tom Friedman keeps saying, is to make the products in advanced manufacturing that move us toward energy independence. And that's what we've been focused on. Advanced manufacturing, clean technology, diversifying into that. Those are the jobs we can create.
Energy independence. Like I said, a lot of that sank with that platform going down. Speaking of financial matters, we'll throw this one off at the top. Whenever I see a big fat number like this, I feel compelled to talk about it. $1.5 billion. The Treasury says they're going to sell that amount in Citi shares. They took their first step toward unloading the remaining stake in Citigroup. And the government currently owns, what, 7.7 billion shares. That would be 27% of a stake in that bank. A sale of the shares would cut the government's holdings, of course, but it would bring some money and it would generate a return for us. Imagine that, the American taxpayers. And I'm basing this on where Citi stock recently has been headed. Selling the stock would, at a price of, you know, almost $5, would lead to a decent profit somewhere in the neighborhood of 2-point-something billion. Depends on what the exact number is when it's sold. Because remember, the government converted their preferred share stake into common stock when they were at about 3-something. Isn't that interesting? Now the Treasury Department has to stand over the craps table just like everybody else. Roll the dice. What do you think? Should we buy today? The taxpayers want their money. Roll the dice. What is it coming up? It's so odd, isn't it? So, because we own it. So you technically, I technically own a chunk of this. I mean, not really, but I guess in a way it's like Monopoly money. It's like we're playing the virtual game. So, yeah, the Treasury Department had to pump in, what, $45 billion through TARP. So originally that's where it was at. People forget about that. The focus is so much on a couple of the other bad guys that you forget about some of the others that were there and had their hand out as well. So, you know, here's a group of greedy people that didn't do much to help the customers, and we'll see what it yields, but I think it's probably smart to sell it if it's going to creep up a little bit. Because you're doing that waiting game. Is it going to go higher? Is it going to dip even lower? What's going to happen there? This is a big story, and because of so much of the other things that I just told you about, this kind of has gotten lost, I think, in some of the news shows and whatnot across the country during the day. But a huge free speech debate over a California law, and this law banned the sale of violent video games to kids. It goes to the Supreme Court for review because the justices Monday accepted the state's appeal, and they're going to decide whether the law is too restrictive in denying access by minors to some of this incredibly graphic stuff in these games. The video game makers say the ban goes too far, and of course they would say that they're making incredible profits. And by doing a nationwide industry-imposed, you know, voluntary rating system, it's a way that parents can screen what's going on with the computer. See, here's the thing. If the parents have to be involved anyway. If the parents just let the kids get games and they're way out of the realm of what they should be playing and what they should be looking at, shame on the parents, right? So I think I'm going to kind of go along with the gaming industry. It might not be what I want to see. It might not be what I want my nephew to see. It might not be what you want your kids to see. But at some point, you know, let the parents decide and stay away from this mess. 800-259-5791. More odds and ends coming up on the flip side.
Get incredible grip, no matter what the conditions, when you wear MaxFit gloves. Everyone from boaters, fishermen, mechanics, plumbers, farmers, senior citizens, and gardeners are all wearing MaxFit gloves for better grip. MaxFit gloves are made with thin glove technology that is ultra-thin, breathable, will reduce muscle fatigue when planting gardens, pulling weeds, or anywhere you need a more youthful grip. Watch incredible MaxFit gloves videos online at MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFit gloves improve dry grip strength by up to 37% and improve your grip up to 400%. 20% better than bare hands in wet or oily conditions. If arthritis has crippled your grip, or if you work with your hands and depend on a good grip, then MaxFit gloves are for you. Right now, get two free pair of MaxFit gloves when you go to MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFitGloves.com and use promo code radio or call 1-877-552-5206. That's 1-877-552-5206. MaxFit gloves. Incredible grip in any conditions.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
As the U.S. and the world slips slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
What kind of a beating is the economy going to take with this new immigration bill that's been signed into law in Arizona? Because a lot of people are threatening to boycott taking any kind of business there. But will there be enough of a boycott that it'll matter? And remember, spring training, of course, we're a year away from that. But as we just went into the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, but the spring training is held in Arizona, the Cactus League, as I love to call it, Grapefruit League in Florida and the Cactus League in Arizona, and it couldn't be bigger, badder, or better. It's so fun to go there. Will people boycott that? And there are all kinds of things that are being suggested at this point. 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net. I mentioned this in stepping aside. Tom Tancredo, who, if anything, is the ultra-conservative former congressman from Colorado, who often he was either held up as somebody who was willing to stand up and fight for tough immigration policies. He was probably one of the most forceful opponents of illegal immigration, I think, in the entire time that I've covered politics that I came across. He was a former presidential candidate, if you remember, ultra-conservative. And he's saying that he'd have to think about this law because he tried to, I mean, he said he would welcome a similar bill in Colorado, but he was worried about some of the provisions. He said if he had anything to say about it, that he did say that he supports the law, even though he was quoted about being concerned about racial profiling, but he did say that. He did throw in that he was worried about the provisions, about what was going to be required. So let me let me clear that up. Doesn't start till 90 days if there's not an injunction because there's so many lawsuits being filed. There is a great chance of that. This will definitely become a constitutional issue. It will go all the way to the Supreme Court, no doubt about it. The law was just signed on Friday, last Friday, so count the 90 days forward. So that's really the end of the summer when this will kick in. There's 30,000 police officers, give or take, that will be able now to question people about their immigration status, including asking for identification if they suspect someone is in the country illegally. So the law has been hailed by some and massively criticized as disgusting, despicable, and ignorant by many others. And it's prompted reaction from far and wide, national outrage in some cases from immigration rights organizations and lots of Latino groups and that whole idea of boycotting Arizona. And there are others who won't admit it, other states who are looking to Arizona to see if it works. That's the deal. That's it. So is it the best way to go with Arizona is to just slam the state, boycott, let's get out of here, forget it. Let's see, you know, let's bail on Arizona. Forget it. Let's not hold any of our conventions or whatever there. I mean, come on. Give me a break. So there will be an injunction most likely, and probably this doesn't go into effect. But I believe it does the intended thing. The governor, the mayor of Phoenix, a ton of people went to the federal government asking, pleading for help, saying things are getting ugly here. What do we do? We need some help. We can't do this. We have XYZ amount of Border Patrol agents. You've got to help us. We need more agents. We need help. We've got dead bodies on the border in the desert. We can't even keep them all in the morgue. We have horrendous things happening here. You just don't understand. We cannot ignore this any longer. And that's where we're at. And that's why I believe this law kicked into effect. Don in Wyoming, hello.
Hey, Kate. I got a question for you. These people, when they come across the border, can they go through what they go through, you know? We haven't even hit the summer yet, you know, where it gets really hot down there. And, you know, like you said, dead bodies laying around and can't fill up the morgues. Do they know when they're coming across that they're doing something illegal?
I think some of them do and some of them don't is the answer to that. Certainly some of them have no clue, but because they're being taken advantage of by the coyotes and they're being promised, you know, riches on the other side or whatever. But I think a lot of them do, yes.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you can't just walk across the border legally, there has to be some sense that they know what they're doing is legal. But then the perception is once they get there, it's okay. Once they get here, it's okay what they did.
Right, and I think there are some that aren't smart. I think there are some that are just, they just think it's a game of getting across without the papers. They don't really understand the high stakes. Actually, they don't understand how high stakes it is for them to go over, and that's why so many end up dead and taken advantage of. And then, of course, the great majority do know. And look at the way Mexico reacts. Felipe Calderon freaks out and says that this is disgusting and it's racial profiling, and how can you do that to Mexican nationals? You got to be kidding me.
Well, you know, it's
money.
I'd probably say 90%. I mean, I don't have the exact numbers on this, but they're sending money back home. I mean, it's like a $3-4 billion a year industry.
Yes.
So that money going back to Mexico, you know, and it's not just them. It's other Honduras, Guatemala, all the countries down there in Central America. They, you know, you have people that come up and do this. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, they know when they get here, they've got to, you know, figure out a way to get a green card so they can stay here legally. And they know. I guess the point that upsets me, Kate, is that it's just like, it's kind of like they get here and they know they're coming here illegally doing what they're doing. But people on this side are telling them, oh, it's okay. No big deal. Nobody's going to do anything to you. You know, and now that somebody's trying to do something to where they, you know, and from what I understand, Kate, this is kind of a thing like, you know, like in most states, it's against the law to not wear your seatbelt, and you can get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. Well, the officer's not going to pull you over because you're not wearing your seatbelt, you know. He's going to pull you over because you did something else. You got a light out in your car. You're speeding, whatever infraction of the motor vehicle laws you've broken. They pull you over. And then they're going to, oh, you're not wearing your seatbelt. Oh, here, we're going to add this onto the ticket. So it's kind of like, I don't think, I'm pretty sure from what couple people I've heard talk about this, is that it's not like they're just going to look at a car and go, oh, that's a whole bunch of Latinos in that car, so we're just going to pull them over and see if they're legal or not.
Right.
No, they've got to have any kind of reason to pull you over.
Yeah.
They have a reason to pull you
over. Absolutely.
You know. But hey, listen, here was something I heard I thought was interesting. Now, remember that comment I made last week about what if they were all white-skinned, you know, if they were all look like just like us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess some U.S. congressman or U.S. senator said yesterday or today that, what if they were a bunch of Bondi blue Swedes coming over, you know, from Sweden? And I'm like, well, I can't bring all those babes over, man. Black hair, blue eyes.
Of course, exactly.
No, there's a lot of pretty Latino women. I'm just kidding. But I'm just like, well, what? You're bringing over a whole bunch of Swedish babes? Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, though, I got to ask you a question because I know you're down there in Dallas. Dumbo got released by the Cowboys. Do you know what it was about or why?
Say that again, because I didn't hear you.
I said Dumbo got released by the Cowboys. I'm just kind of curious why. Do you know why? You know who Dumbo is, right?
Uh-uh. Who are you talking about?
Flozell Adams.
Flozell Adams. Flozell Adams got released because they felt like he wasn't effective enough on the line, and for the reason you said, because of all the penalties added up, and they decided, Wade Phillips and crew decided that, and Jason Garrett was in on this, that it was too much to have on the O-line someone like him he wasn't the only one, but he was somebody that was costing them a lot, and he was getting a little bit, he was getting older, and he wasn't as quick either off the line.
Well, I just was curious, you know, because, like, you know, on the other side of the line was Mark Colombo, so
yeah.
I just called him Dumbo and Colombo, you know, that's why I called him Dumbo. I mean, he's not a dumb guy, you know, but, you know, when you're starting the game out minus 10 yards because some guy fought starts twice.
That's
game,
right.
You
that's
know,
right.
Or, you know, it's just, it's, you know, I talked to a point, I mean, I couldn't believe how many drives this year, last year, that were stopped because of it, you know, and but in any case, I was just curious, did he sign with another team, you know, or?
Not yet. So far, he hasn't signed with another team, no.
That's interesting. So,
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he's picked up, because somebody needs some beef and somebody needs some experience. A lot of the Cowboy linemen, even if, you know, often they're dished off, they end up somewhere else unless they have some kind of an injury. But his wasn't an injury-related thing at all. That there was, he didn't have problems with that. It was more about the penalties and the fact that he was aging and they had a good backup player. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Don. Stick with us. Coming up, we got a dungeon moment.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it. If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com. The main name in military supply.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. Airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
So come up, if you like to be a governor, a mayor, a senator, a congressperson, and you're starting to fear that you're going to lose your seat, is it best just to switch parties? I'm just going to switch. There are people that have done that, like Arlen Specter, like Joe Lieberman, and now Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, who's in a battle to save his political life, is thinking about becoming an independent, jumping from the Republican Party to become an independent. So that's what you do. Hey, I was all about the GOP until I realized I wasn't going to win this one. So now I'm switching parties. That's what I'm going to do. But that's not what our dungeon moment is about. Our dungeon moment is this. I happen to read two New York papers today. I think I was reading the Times and the Post. And the mayor comes out, Mayor Bloomberg, like there's nothing going on in the city of New York other than let's worry about salt intake. So the mayor has a harsh warning to food manufacturers. He announces an agreement with a bunch of companies to reduce sodium in their products over the next 5 years and says, if you want federal regulation, a good way to do it is to not do something. And he threatens to step in if something isn't done about the salt intake. Threatens that the government will regulate this, and he would love to be a part of that. The mayor did admit himself that he has a salt habit because he likes to sprinkle it on just about everything that he eats. But he says that's not a big issue since 80% of the salt consumed in the U.S. is from processed foods. So the mayor has decided that he's going to become the salt police in New York and maybe elsewhere in the country. He's going to lead the charge for that. Why not? Hold a press conference, make a big deal about it. And so what's next on the agenda? Cigarettes, trans fats, what else? What else is part of the crusade? He never said anything about salt when he was running. And speaking of being able to switch parties, he didn't switch parties, but he fought so that he could be elected three times as the mayor, because before you could only have two terms. This is so... Here we go again with Mayor Bloomberg. For that reason, it'd be nice for him to spend some time in our dungeon. Let's throw him in.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
I think we should all move to France where everything is cooked in butter. Why not? Oops, salt's too bad. Let's go for France. They do everything in butter. Why not? Give me a break. And the guy is worth a fortune. He's worth billions of dollars. And I don't care what Mayor Bloomberg thinks about salt and trying to regulate salt intake. Who cares? We have other things to talk about. And we've been talking about it, like what's going on with the immigration law in Arizona and the blowback on the governor and all the lawsuits that are waiting to hit and doesn't kick in till 90 days, and ultimately, where is that going to end up? Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York.
Yeah, hi, hon. I want to spend a couple of minutes on a number of topics, but just so you know, really quick, just to rehash something. I called you last week. I don't have a tape of it, but I mentioned how the Muslims, actually the website was based here in America, had threatened South Park. And we were wondering why Bill Clinton was going around blaming the Tea Party, and Obama was blaming the Tea Party that for supposed acts of terror that didn't happen, and there is an actual threat to someone's life. And wouldn't you know, on Friday, Mark Stein was filling in for Rush Limbaugh, and he mentioned the exact same thing. And I perked up. I said that on Kate's show. So I think people from the listeners, producers of Rush Limbaugh show, listen to America Tonight. Because, I mean, it's not a stretch to think that someone else thought of it. But just so you know, America, we're ahead of the curve on this show, because he mentioned the exact same thing that I did about the supposed threats.
Also, and you know what? It's interesting. We're going to have somebody on, Andrew Clavin, who's a screenwriter. We've had him on a bunch of different times to talk about the what's happened now with that whole South Park thing and how interesting, like you said, and we've talked about how it just gets pushed into the ether. Well, who cares about that? Let's talk about all these other things.
Right,
let's bag on the teabaggers instead. Yeah.
Yeah, and teabaggers is a slur, but we...
I know.
Really quick, the TSA guy, remember the general that you said you liked, the other fellow that he nominated? He backed out also because...
I know.
Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Also, just really quick, Dawn Johnson, who was supposed to head the Office of Legal Counsel, she was the one that said that she wanted to impose a progressive agenda, and she said that abortion was, not lack of abortion was similar to slavery. Well, she went down in flames. She hasn't been... her nomination went down for Office of Legal Counsel. And I would just urge, there's so many topics I want to talk about, but I would urge your listeners, I believe it's the Senate Judiciary Committee. Obama has nominated a guy named Goodwin Liu, I guess L-I-U, I'm not sure if he's China, I guess he's Vietnamese, for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This guy, basically, as recounted by someone named Ed Whelan for National Review, the appointee, Liu, has denounced free enterprise, private ownership of property, and limited government. He called them code words for ideological agenda hostile to the environment, workplace, and consumer protections. He also goes on, he wants to impose same-sex marriage, racial quotas in education, and reparation for slavery. This is a 39-year-old lawyer that Obama has nominated for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. America, this this nomination should basically tell you where this president's coming from. I mean, I was, when he was first elected, I called him a scumbag, and I still think he is a scumbag. And this nomination, Lou, call your senators and say, look, toss this guy into the ether, into the garbage with the rest of them, John Johnson and this other TSA guy, because your voice can be heard. And I had to bring that up in addition to your voice being heard as far as Arizona. Now, if Tom Tancredo has reservations about the law, we have to listen to him, because I have his book on my bookcase here. He mentioned about the Mexican military coming over the border. He mentioned the anchor babies. He mentioned the remittances, which are close to $50 billion outlay. The plumbers unions, the carpenters unions, whose members are they're losing money because of. And now, I would just simply ask them not to take anyone's side in the issue, because they know I haven't been virulent, I haven't been calling anybody names. But the business owners, the body shops, the lawn care, the roofers that hire these people, there's also, too, I mean, you have to ask them, you know, they're probably going to cry on one and two in Arizona because they're getting cheap labor, but they have to be held accountable also. So the workers who are here illegally, you got to go, and the people that hire them have to, you know, because it'll raise the standard of living for Americans also.
Absolutely, because they'll have jobs. You're right, Mark. Look at all the people that have lost jobs in the industry, of the guys that used to make a living putting together houses, being a home builder. Now they don't hire those guys. They don't hire them on crews.
Say, these are not jobs that Americans won't do. These Americans are lining up for these jobs. We have a close to 30% depression-era real unemployment rate in this country. So as while we can all feel sorry and say, you know, you got to go. All right. No one wants to be like this Jewish guy that had the yellow with the Star of David saying he was protesting the law. Look, we don't want a Gestapo, but the people of Arizona have spoken. 70% of the people of Arizona and 60% of Americans agree with this. You can parse it out. You can if there's an injunction, they've raised the issue. They're simply saying the language, our autonomy of our state and our country is going bye-bye. So the hell with La Raza and the Reconquista and everybody else. And I mentioned this before many times, Robert Chittum's book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. This can staunch the breakup of the country, because they're raising the issue. They're saying, look, enough is enough.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You know, your voice has to be heard. It's Arizona. It's you know, we always cry about federalism and states' rights. And if states want to have gay marriage and they want to have unfettered access to abortion, that's great. But when a state like South Dakota says you can't have a partial birth abortion, or Arizona says we have to do something about this out of control illegal immigration, how come you can bolster states that are, you know, pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage or whatever, or anti-gun, but when Arizona simply says we need to do something about it, we have to come down on them like a ton of bricks? I don't get it. There has to be a middle ground somewhere. If the people want to do that, then you hash it out and you bring it up. And that's what you have, a real debate. You don't call people names. They're having the problem on the border down there, and they're looking for a way to deal with it. And the federal government, since 65, when Kennedy passed the Immigration Reform Act, and Ronald Reagan in 86, whenever the hell it was, that they said they would have to do enforcement. They didn't do the federal.
That's right.
They
right.
lied to you, just like they're lying to you now.
Mm-hmm.
People have to take a chance and do what they need to do. And that's enough out of me. I love you, man.
I agree. Absolutely. Mark, thanks. He makes sense in what he's saying, that it's what I've been saying, that there was a white flag that was raised. Help us. We've asked for your help. You're not helping us. So that's really what the Arizona thing does. The immigration law is reshaping the massive push for something to happen here. It absolutely was a cry for help. Don't think that the governor didn't know that there were going to be nasty phone calls, there were going to be rallies, there were going to be a lot of problems, that this was just going to be smooth sailing. One, in trying to enforce it and people's interpretations of it and all the debate. It's opening the discussion, and I think that was also part of the idea. This law is aimed at rooting out illegal immigrants, and it's bringing up the arguments. Now even the president said it. The president flat out said that it is a wake-up call for the government to do something about the immigration system. It's not working. It's obviously not working. They're not a Border Patrol agents. We know the problems. We've talked about this. When you have, you know, the number they say is 11 million people who are in the country illegally, I don't buy that. I really think that number is closer to at least 17. Honestly, I do. We'll see if this is going to be the catalyst to overcoming the politics surrounding illegal immigration. Hang with us.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
In wide wonder at the joy they found. The nurse spoke up.
Kate, swinging for the fences, just like my Philadelphia Phillies, right here on America Tonight. Speaking of trying to hit the long ball, Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, in a race of his life to stay in politics, he's considering becoming an independent. It was interesting because Joe Lieberman, remember, he bailed, and that's what he did, went the independent route because he was fearful that, he was going to lose his seat, no doubt. And here's what he said when he was asked about that question, would he advise Charlie Crist to do that?
Well, I'm not going to offer public advice to Charlie Crist because every campaign, every individual is a different situation. But I'll say this. When I lost the Democratic primary for re-election in 2006 in Connecticut, it was the most painful moment, most disappointing moment of my political career. And yet, as I look back to it, and sure didn't feel like that then, I feel like I was done a favor because if I wanted to continue to serve and I didn't want to give up as a result of the rejection of the Democratic Party, I had to go forward and run as an independent. And my state laws fortunately allowed me to do that. That's not the case in Florida. And so being elected as an independent, you know, God bless the people of Connecticut, I think put me in exactly the position I want to be in at this hyper-partisan, non-productive, divisive time in our politics. And it gives me the latitude to try to be a bridge on a lot of different issues to make things happen, or sometimes not to be a bridge, just to speak out, say what I believe, whether it makes everybody in one party or another happy or not.
You know what? I'm happy.
Yeah, boy, there's similarity in that sound there, huh? Anybody know what that, who that cartoon character is? Matt and I have talked about it before. Sam in Montreal, hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind, brother?
Okay, we'll talk about what's really on my mind later. But there was a front page on the national newspaper here, a paper called the National Post, with Robert Mugabe and Ahmadinejad. And Mugabe supports Ahmadinejad's use of nuclear stuff for, and I put this in quotation marks, peaceful purposes.
Right, because he's trying to say that he's using it for nuclear power, that
right.
That's the reason why he's enriching uranium. Yeah, right.
Right. And we all know that it is a load of manure.
Crap, yes.
Well, I was being a little more diplomatic.
There you go.
You see what happens when you hang around, Joe? And the decision came down today about her complaint.
And what happened?
Okay, without mentioning, like I said, for security, the male was given 2-week suspension, modified desk duty, and a severe letter of reprimand. The female was given 1-week suspension, also modified desk duty, and also a severe letter of reprimand, and they put our names in the computer that when we pass by, don't hassle us, just let us go through.
Yeah, and so for people who don't know, Sam's talking about an incident at the border crossing, and that's good. So there was some resolution. You complained, and that's good.
Yeah, and I asked, the person invited us into their office and explained the decision. So Julie said, you know what, I think I'll go back to the States, but the person said, you're still going to have to use your passport. Okay, Julie thought maybe, you know, we'd get a break and wouldn't have to use it. I said, Julie, don't press your luck.
That's right. You already got a good decision, so just be happy that they reprimanded the guy and he can move on from there.
Well, no, severe letter of reprimand. I don't think he's going to be promoted for a little while.
No, I agree.
And if
that's good.
Yeah. So I asked her, are you happy? She goes, let's go out to lunch. It's on me. She's happy.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Taylor, we said congratulations on that. Sam, we got some other people waiting in the bullpen. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
You too. Let's move to Stu. Oops, I think we just missed Stu in Kentucky. Sorry about that. We did get a couple of quick emails, and I want to go to those quickly, I guess. We already did a mailbag segment, but I feel badly because so many people wanted to get some time to talk about the immigration law in Arizona. This one from Mary James, and Mary says, Kate, I was listening to all this stuff about the immigration law in Arizona, and I say that governor is pretty brave for signing that law into effect. Bravo to her, whatever happens. All right, we have Stu, who's back now from the green room. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Kate.
What's up, man?
I don't know what happened there. You know how that works. Just
I know.
Dropping, you know, it happens when you live in the mountains. I saw on the immigration thing. You really think they're going to do anything about it before the midterm? Because I don't see it happening.
No. I think there's going to be a lot of conversation about it, but actually having something happen, no. Financial reform is already filibustered. Nothing's going to happen there, no.
Right. I don't see them doing anything with immigration, and I would almost put a 12-pack of long necks on it because it's not going to happen.
I agree. Absolutely.
For the simple fact that, you know, the minorities are mainly your Democratic voters.
Sure.
I'd say all of them, but, you know, that's pretty much, that makes a big part of the Democratic voters. And they know that they need that midterm election. And if they start on immigration, it's going to kick it out the window.
Right.
And Obama's not stupid. And I'm not saying the guy's brilliant. Don't get me wrong, people, but it's politics. He's going to do political things. He's going to make it sound, that's my opinion, you know, and he's going to make things sound real good. He's all for immigration reform, but it's going to be the last thing done before the November midterms. It's just not going to happen.
Yep,
so,
it's too risky.
You know, and I feel the same way as Mark. You know, we've done a lot of produce over the years, and we go to the farms, and they get a lot of migrant workers that come across legal, most of them. and they come to, for migrant work and they leave. And I can tell you, I've been in a many watermelon patches and loaded watermelons, honey, and I'm telling you, there ain't many Americans that want to go out there and cut watermelons off the vine and load them in the back of buses and take them in and sort them out, put them in boxes, and load them on a truck. Now, maybe construction and other things, but I'm telling you.
Construction's different, though, Stu. You know that. I agree with you on the water.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you on the watermelon thing and picking strawberries and all that. Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of hard work. And,
yes.
And they don't pay much. But actually, I shouldn't say it because I was at Cabbage Farm a few years ago, a customer of ours, and we were down there. And she was complaining that, like, migrant workers, when they bring them over here, they pay them more than minimum wage.
That's right.
They have to pay them more than minimum wage. They also have to house them.
Yep.
They also have to provide medical care for them. And I never did understand, and we deal with another farm in Ohio same way, and I never did understand why they treat the migrant workers, our United States government treats migrant workers better than they do our own citizens that go to work out there. And she was telling me one time down at the cabbage farm, she said the health department come out there, and she said, I'm looking out there at the field. She said they're all gathered around these people, and they're handing out condoms, which isn't really a bad thing. But at the same time, you know, she says they're taking up my money. And if I remember right, this has been before the minimum wage. I know what it is now, but it was back when it was four or something or five or something. She had to pay them like $7.50 an hour back then. This is like an 04, 05.
Yeah.
She had to pay him $7.50 an hour to work out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did understand why a migrant worker should make more than a U.S. citizen. And the law should stay in that way. And why she should have to provide him with medical care and housing. I've never, to this day, I still don't understand it. But now when you get into South Georgia, Florida, even in Michigan and Ohio, and even parts of Kentucky, Western Kentucky in the summertime, you'll see them overrun by the migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
But the migrants also go back to Mexico when their time, most of them go back to Mexico when their time is done.
Those
people I can't complain about, but it's the ones that come in. You know, we have several Mexican restaurants in our town, and they can't speak a word of English.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not a word of English. And we laugh all the time because, like I said, I've got a goddaughter. Her dad is full-blooded Mexican. He's an illegal, and he works at a Mexican restaurant, and I'll say, Jose Ram? Oh, no, say, we don't know Jose. No, Jose, we don't know Jose. Well, they say that because they think you're immigration or something coming in there. And we just had them ship like 25 of them back 3 years ago.
Mm.
And I mean, I love my goddaughter to death, but it's like I tell her mom all the time, look, daddy needs to go back down there and come back across the right way because I'm tired of paying for his sorry tale.
That's right. And see, that's why we love you, Stu. You're never shy about your opinions, and all your friends know it. Thanks for the call. He's right, and that's the problem in a nutshell. You need to do it the right way. We can't have all these cutters because the cutters are what are causing the problems here across the United States and not just in the border cities.
You've tested positive for opium. That's right, Elaine. White Lotus. Yum, yum. Shanghai Sally.
That's impossible. I've never said I'd walk in my life. Dr. Strugoff must have made a mistake.